Get Carmen and Yurko Pods on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Hope you're having a great day. It's Carmen and Yurko wrapping the week. Going to be a beautiful weekend. Get ready for it. Time to talk football in the offseason with a Super Bowl champ. He's always so gracious with his time. Thanks in large part to his great relationship with the Good Kid. They go all the way back to Green Bay together. He's a Super Bowl champ, and he's Andy Reid, and he joins Carmen and Yurko now on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing good, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
Well, we always love it when you come on, and
yeah,
I think
we do.
Talked to you probably right after the Super Bowl. I mean, this is kind of a crazy season to be a Super Bowl, an offseason to be a champ, right? Because normally you kind of hit the circuit and you're everywhere, but everything kind of got shut down not too long after. What has the offseason been like for you?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm grateful of that part that I don't have to travel around and do all that because that's not my style, but it's been good. I mean, listen, we've got a ton of work done in this craziness that's going on, but it's we've stayed productive. We've had a chance to meet with the players 4 times a week, and it's been good. And try to keep it live and fresh for those guys so that we're not wearing them out that way. But and then other than that, it's different because I'm at home. I get to see my wife more than I normally do, and I've got a bunch of grandkids, and they sneak over and say hello, so it's been good that way.
That's great. When it comes to that communication with the players and the staff, you said about 4 times a week, and you guys are keeping it fun. Like, how much have you tried, you know, to tell them about the business side of things and taking care of themselves? Like, how do you balance making sure guys are doing the things that they would normally be doing in your building while still trying to keep things sort of fun, like you said, in these crazy times?
Yeah, well, it's kind of funny on that cover because we started off with them. And the pandemic was it was going strong. We were learning about it. Every day something new came out about it. And then the players started getting restless, and their clocks were kind of going off in their mind when you'd normally be with each other and doing these mini camps and or OTAs. And so I've seen them progressively now work to – now they're all getting together and they're all going out and throwing the ball and working out at each other's facilities that they have in their garages. So it's been, you know, it's been good that way. We're still moving along. Now we can't do anything with them when they're working out, but we can give them things, new plays and those things, that I'm sure they could take and work on, you know, on their own. So during these installs.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys are looking to solidify Patrick Mahomes as you guys move forward with a nice brand-new contract for him. But when you take a look at that quarterback and what he's been able to do early on in his career, what do you think the ceiling is for this guy?
You know, Yurko, it's it's crazy because you know how it is. As a football player, it's like being a farmer, man. Your work's never done. And so as a quarterback, you even up that another notch. And this kid loves that part of it right now. So he's still young, and he's like a sponge. He wants you to give him everything you could find him, give him, and to help him be even better than he is right now. So you appreciate that. And I don't know what the ceiling is, but we're going to explore it. And he encourages you to want to do that with him because he works hard and he loves the game. So, hey, Yurko, you know, you could really throw the ball well, and I don't think people realize it. Not many nose guards were as athletic as you.
Right.
But this guy even throws it better than you. I know that's hard to believe.
Yeah, I'm shocked at that already.
Andy Reid's our guest. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. He said something, Mahomes, after the win during this offseason, Coach, and I'm not verbatim, but something along the lines that, like, he didn't really start to understand how to diagnose a defense until last year. Well, it was 2 years ago that he was the MVP and he threw 50 touchdown passes. It's like, wait a minute, that's got to scare the crap out of the rest of the league. I mean, sort of see that kind of maturation of Patrick from, you know, two seasons ago to last year, where he really started to understand what he was looking at more?
Yeah, so I can remember a couple phases. So we brought him in for his interview, pre-draft interview. We spent 6 hours with him, and it was like he was being hit by a train. And then we, with the information, and then he comes in as a rookie, and we triple that on him, you know, and just throw a ton at him. And every week it's survival. And he comes into his second year, and then he's kind of, he has this feel for it. He's starting to get it. And then last year, you just sense that he kind of put it together and understood that. And so he's a brilliant kid, and everything comes fairly easy to him from a mental standpoint. And he's got that good field sense that you see on TV. Now, we get to see the mental part every day. And so I was afraid that we had taken it at such a high level with Alex as far as the aptitude part of the game that I wasn't sure if he could, if we could keep building, or I'd have to back up a little bit. And we were able to keep growing the offense with him, and because of how smart he is. But listen, he hasn't tapped out at all on this as far as learning. He's got a ton more that he can do, and he's so excited about it. You don't look at it like it's this, you know, you're not saying, hey, you have to do this and you have to do that. That's not how we roll with it with him. And he wants to know everything, and he can digest that and handle it from an aptitude standpoint.
What were your thoughts about the rules changes or some of the things that weren't implemented, like the 4th and 15 instead of the onside kick and the pass interference replay going away?
Yeah, so they only took part of what I kind of said on the 4th and 15. I really wasn't an advocate of the 4th and 15. You know how it is, Jericho. The guys, you know, these guys are making their all these meeting things going off here. You have these guys that make a living on special teams. I mean, there are certain guys that are going to make our team because they're pretty good at kickoff return and kickoff coverage. So, and then. You know, you're going to take out – they already changed the onside kick. Now they want to take it out. The next thing that's going to go is kickoff return, blah, blah, you know, and it snowballs on you. So here I'm sitting, and you guys know this, I'm sitting here with the best special teams coach of the National Football League, or arguably the best special teams coach of the National Football League. I've got Brett Veach, who's bringing in all these good players for us, our general manager. And look at our – just take our game against Houston in the playoffs. And what changed that game around was a return, right? With Mecole Hardman. That return got us going and created momentum. So one thing leads to another. And that's kind of – I've been in this long enough to kind of know how that works. And so I just didn't want to really give in. And from my standpoint, I didn't really want to give in on that. Plus, if you've got leads, you know, you don't want to give anybody a better chance to close it. Now, on the other hand, I've got a guy that, you know, with Pat Mahomes and our receiving corps, we can handle 4th and 15s if needed. I mean, so I wasn't afraid of that part. I just didn't think it was good for the game right now. And whatever goes on down the road, that's what goes on. But I just didn't. I wasn't really buying in all the way on the rule.
Would you be in favor of a sky judge in every stadium?
Now that I would be, that I would be for. And so they're going to do that. So I know they said that they've thrown out the sky judge thing, but I've been very involved with that. And so what they've done is like during the 2 minute period, there's a fella up there that's a replay official. He has an assistant that can do all the technology, and he sits up there and he can watch the game, and we count on for the most important part of the game, the 2 minute during the 2 minute drill. So, or the last 2 minutes of the game. So I'm sitting here going, well, maybe we can just do that for the whole game. And that's what I think Roger Goodell feels. I think that's Troy Vincent feels, and all the guys. So we already have that in place, and they'll go through and they'll evaluate who those guys and look at it. Just will trust those guys come out and just be another set of eyes. Why not, right? Why not have that?
Yeah.
And our fans see all of that. They get to see everything from a little different standpoint that than the officials do. Why handicap the officials? Give them an opportunity to have somebody upstairs that can help them out, and just on the things that are obvious, in the game, not going around the referee's back. The referee's still in charge of everything, which is a great thing. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think it's a positive thing that they're looking at.
You drafted Nick Foles in Philadelphia. You had him briefly in Kansas City. He's now here with the Bears. And I guess I'd ask you, knowing Nick and your close relationship with Matt Nagy, how will their relationship maybe benefit one another here in Chicago?
Yeah, so I'm a big Nick Foles fan. I think he's a tremendous person. I think he's a tremendous football player. You know what I noticed, Jericho? This was really, I thought, pretty cool. And Carmen, you've been around this, so you know how this thing rolls. So I'm watching tape on him when he's in Arizona. So it's his last year at the University of Arizona. It's his last year, and he has all freshman offensive linemen except one of them was a sophomore, I think. He is getting shellacked, like just knocked on his tail every play. And he never complained. Those linemen would come grab him and pick him off the ground, help him up, and he never griped me. He never mentioned it when I got together. I said, man, you got knocked around a little bit. He goes, yeah, I had some young guys, but man, they were getting better as the year went on and da 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 da. And so I said, I always take things through the O-line and D-line. When I talk to when we're going to draft a receiver, I'm going to go talk to the linemen to see what they say about the guy. Or we're going to draft a defensive back, I'm going to find those defensive linemen, I'm going to talk to them, because they're going to shoot you straight. They're going to give you the real story on the guy. They don't pull any punches. And so this kid, I mean, I loved him for that. And he'll be great with Mitch. He'll do a nice job. And Mitch Trubisky has talent, and he's just working through it. Man, that quarterback thing's a tough thing, especially in a tough city like Chicago. I mean, that's not an easy thing to do. So he'll be great for Mitch, and he'll also be right in there to compete with him every day. And then Matt's got a phenomenal offensive mind, and so. You know, he'll situate that whole thing and make it work. You just gotta have a little trust, man. It's tough to trust if things hadn't gone so well. It went well the first year, second year, it was up and down. So you just gotta hang with Matt and trust him, and he'll get it right. He's a good football coach, and he's got a good staff too.
Will there be an NFL season, and what will it look like?
Yeah, I think there will be. Don't know what it'll look like, but I think we'll play. It'll be kind of weird if we don't have fans. That'll be a little different. Unless they let my wife in a game. If they let my wife come to a game, she can scream loud enough for everybody, for all 60,000. So, but I think there'll be a season, and then we'll just see how the rest of that goes. But, you know, time's gone on here, we're finding out so many things about this virus that I think we got some great minds that in the science field and medical field that will knock this thing out, and we'll be able to move on, I think.
Do you think you're close, somewhat close, to maybe having the guys back in the facility?
Yeah, you know, well, the coaches aren't even back, so yeah. we got to get the coaches back in, or at least have the opportunity to come back in. So that doesn't mean it's hard right now because we're so far along that the coaches are set up in their homes to do all this stuff. My feeling is that the players aren't in, the coaches don't, but I would like to be in the building where I've got the general manager there who's already in the building, and our president who's already in the building, to have them there and maybe get my coordinators back to be able to do that, you know, so for training camp, putting that together. So, but we'll see how it goes. If we can get them in that last week, like, the commissioner's kind of mentioned before that potentially on a limited bet, whatever, however it works, we'll take whatever we can get and be able to work with the guys. I really, you know, Carmen, as you look at this and Yerk, I feel bad for the new coaches, the guys that are just coming in or guys that are hiring brand new coordinators or the guys that have a young, brand new quarterback or something. You know, that's a tough road, but it's crazy the way football works. I mean, when it's all said and done, we'll still get out there and play and we'll do a pretty good job with it. So,
Coach, you're the best. We always appreciate the time. Enjoy the summer and be well, okay?
All right, I appreciate you. Yurko, great talking with you, man.
All right, Coach. Appreciate it.
We'll talk to you.
Yep.
Talk to you soon, Coach. Good. There he is, Andy Reid. We'll be right back, Carmen and Yurko.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is the home of Carmen and Yurko.
Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN _ Chicago.
Again, we thank Coach Reid for his time. Always so generous. Carmen and Yurko, hit us up on Twitter at Carmen DeFalco, at Yurko64 for the good kid. That's Yurko with the J, the number 64. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram. You get all the stories talking about the show and some of the other fun stuff at Carmen and Yurko. Follow the station at ESPN _ Chicago. I know Chris Bleck was watching NASCAR last night. Chase Elliott gets into the winner's circle, Yurk, a win at Charlotte.
Oh, yeah.
And now it's time for a quick turnaround, right? They're going to be racing at Bristol in Tennessee on Sunday. Kyle Busch, your favorite for the weekend at 4-1. Three wins in his last five starts at Bristol, Yurk. Look at me dropping NASCAR knowledge.
That's right. High banked half-mile oval, kid. There's a
that's
lot
That's a short
of
track, right,
Yurk?
Track. Is
yeah,
that right?
That's a short track, kid.
Yeah.
Bumper
that's
cars.
Good,
bumper
good
cars.
Racing.
So is that do you like that better, or do the aficionados more like the super speedways where you can... What do you like better, Yurk?
They like the short tracks better.
The short tracks better.
Problem is that they've eliminated pretty much all of the short tracks over the course of time.
Now, wouldn't it stand to reason, though, on the bigger tracks, you have a bigger straightaway so the cars can get more momentum?
Yeah, like momentum... But what you're looking for is racing. You're looking for a guy, you know, for a crew and a team that can set up a car.
So I think, as like a novice, I think speed is what you want. But that's not necessarily what the aficionados are going for. They want a race.
They want racing. They want to see cars being able to pass. They want to see the technical supremacy of one team over the other by being able to put a race car together.
Got it.
Want to see the ability of a driver who's losing his tires still be able to get that thing around the track at a decent amount of speed so he doesn't lose too many positions.
See, I'm learning. Black, you agree?
That's what you want.
Yeah, because I feel like the driver means more in a race like this at Bristol because you have to maneuver more, right? Like in the big super speedways, Yurko, like once you tuck in with the rest of the pack, now you're just kind of using physics at your disposal and your team.
You're just driving around.
You're driving. Like last night, there were points where it just kind of got dry because it was like once a leader was in front before they had the next caution, it's like, okay, this is kind of how it's going
to
be.
They've come to find out over the course of time that the cookie-cutter mile-and-a-half tracks are the ones they want. Hmm. The one here in Chicago is a cookie-cutter mile-and-a-half track. Texas is a mile-and-a-half track. Charlotte's a mile-and-a-half track.
Phoenix, Yurk?
Some of the new ones. Phoenix has got a little bit of nuance to its track. Las Vegas is that way. Then Las Vegas redid their track and put some compound banking in the corners, where if you're running low, it's a certain banking. If you're running a little bit higher, it's a different banking, and it's different banking throughout all the turns. So, you know, you try to add some variance and some nuance to it. You know, the boringest race to me in the world is Pocono.
Why?
Two and a half miles. It's got three turns. It's just, you want to talk about a snooze fest. Hmm. And the only reasons Daytona and Talladega are entertaining is because of the big one. The possibility of carnage. That's the only thing that's there.
Those are huge tracks, right? Like Daytona's one of those huge.
Yeah. Daytona's
two and a half miles.
And the biggest track on the circuit is 2.66 miles. It's at Talladega.
Wow. Talladega's the big boy, huh?
Yeah,
and Yurko obviously means what the big one is. Not only is the track bigger, but since everyone's in a pack, the moment there's one wreck, it takes out
six cars, right?
Even more cars. Right? Like you could knock out half the field in one wreck.
Right. especially if they're running three wide around the track. Yeah.
This is why it's got to be good for NASCAR. They're running, people are talking about it, you know? I mean, yeah. So.
Well, when they're the only thing running,
that's right.
You've got to talk about it. Now that, you know, back in the day, Texas Terry Labonte was real good on the half mile. Earnhardt Sr. was exceptional on the half mile.
Really?
The kid now that's good is obviously the one you mentioned, Kyle Busch.
Kyle
Busch is good. Eric Jones is good at a half mile track. So it'll be interesting. It could be could finish 18-20 in this contest. Kurt Busch is exceptional in this, too.
Very good. So that's Sunday afternoon at the Bristol Motor Speedway.
Yerk, any problem with no fans in the stands? I haven't noticed an issue at all.
Well, if you've ever watched a Busch race or a truck race, they're in front of nobody all the time.
Yeah.
So to me, it's just par for the course. You know, two out of the three races every week don't have any fans, and then the third one is the one that does, and that's the Cup Series.
And when you're watching this on TV, I think we made this point last week or a couple of weeks ago. You don't hear the fans. All you hear is the car. It's the right. You know, that's what you want to hear.
These when you're there, anyway. When you're there, if you've ever been to a race. When you're there, all you hear is the cars.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
You know. Because most people, if they're smart, have the headphones on where they can get the scanner for all the race teams.
I'll tell you...
Just dial in and you listen to what the communication is between the driver and the car. Otherwise, you've got earplugs in because it's that loud.
That's kind of cool.
Did you know that was a part of it? Like,
yeah, that's kind
of
cool.
The first time I went, I was shocked that that's not marketed more because really it feels like doesn't it feel like you're listening to the quarterback and the offensive coordinator during an offensive series?
Yes, exactly.
That's cool. I have to say.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
You can dial up any driver you want.
Right.
And just listen into the team. That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know what's weird without fans, I will tell you so far, is soccer. Because you sort of, if you ever, and you guys, you know, obviously it's with Yurko with the EPL, I mean, in La Liga, when you watch these European leagues, if you watch that soccer, you are so accustomed to hearing the passionate fans. I get it. They're a little loony, too. They're crazy.
And the songs.
But the songs, Yurk, the chants and the songs, and they never stop. And putting on a game. I've watched some of the Bundesliga. I'll watch when the EPL comes back. La Liga announced its return date today. I think they said June 11th, if
I'm
not mistaken.
It is June 11th,
So in a couple of Thursdays here, 2 weeks from yesterday. It's weird when it's silent, I will say. Now, I'll watch it because it gives us some live sports, and the quality of soccer in these European leagues and those big five leagues is fantastic. But it's strange, and putting on an EPL game where you don't hear that is going to be it's just going to be different at first, I think.
Well, I think you're right. I think that's one of the things you notice. And I've been watching the Bundesliga a little bit, and I watch Bayern Munich play. And, you know, soccer, because of the singing and the songs and the chants that they have, is usually a good thing. And all you got to do is look up EPL chants for soccer, and they'll come up with some of the best ones that you have, the songs that they sing for Yaya Toure and Kolo Toure and some of the funny stuff they have. I think the bald guy is Jojo Shively. And they had a song where they told him he looked like the guy from Harry Potter, the bald guy from Harry Potter. It was great.
They're good.
It's funny. Yeah.
It's world class.
It's good stuff. It's world class stuff. Yeah.
I like it a lot.
So, you know, it is a little bit different, but you get used to it all.
Yeah, you have to, right? We're going to all be used to it by the end of the year probably because, let's face it, probably watching our beloved NFL teams with no fans or very few fans anyway.
Yeah,
in the stands.
I wouldn't go crazy.
We'll
There's already been an approval.
Yeah, so in Houston, is
25,
that?
Yeah, 25% of fans could come back to games.
Is that Houston? Is that right, Yerk?
It could be Texas.
State of Texas.
The state of Texas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, so you got a 100,000 seat facility, you could put 25,000
in there.
Fans in there.
And I bet you those stadiums down there for foot, you know, like Jerry World for sure. Reliant, is it still called Reliant Stadium? I can't remember what it's called right now.
Well,
I don't know.
Reliant in Houston, right?
Yeah, Reliant, at least it used to be.
NRG, I think.
Maybe it's NRG. I think that's right. I think it changed. But yeah, those are, you know, 90, 100,000.
I wonder if that's an energy company.
I believe
NRG.
I believe it is.
Yeah.
Yerk, you remember Ryan Terry. You can't quiet the Ryan. He is a coach now. Merkin was telling me, is Merkin there? Mark, he's put a bunch of guys that he's worked with have gone into the draft here recently.
He's worked
right?
with a couple guys who've been drafted in the first round, I believe. Yep.
Yeah.
And he's had a lot of ties. I mean, he played at LSU. He played with Fontenot at LSU. And he's got a lot of ties to that area.
Yeah. We'll talk to Ryan Terrio, the former Cub, when we come back next.
Carmen and Yurko.
Hello there.
Weekdays, noon to 2, on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Hope everyone's having a great Friday. Kermit and Yurko on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. As a veteran of nearly 1,000 big league games, pretty valuable to get advice from a guy like Ryan Terrio, who's now doing some coaching with the Traction Sports Performance Team. And what a mensch this guy is. And Merkin was sending him a video of his son, Brett. And Brett's a pretty good baseball player. Brett's, what, 13, right, Merk? Because they just had
13 years old.
The mitzvah, yeah. So this was maybe about a year ago, and Brett's on a travel team. He's a pretty good little ball player, actually. And Merk sent Ryan a video, and like Ryan Terrio gave him a whole set of instructions. Like, he watched the video and he said, oh, you know,
and he still uses them. Keep the feet inverted, and yeah, it's great.
And that's valuable. You can't just go out in the street and get that, you know?
The inverted foot technique.
The inverted foot technique. Sure. I like it. Ryan Terrio, the former Cub, joins us now on ESPN 1000. God, it's been forever since we've talked to him. Ryan, how are you?
Man, I'm doing great. How are you guys? I appreciate y'all having me on.
Well, we're doing well. You know, you've stayed in touch with Randy a little bit over these years, and you were a fan favorite here for a while. Are you back down home in Louisiana? Is that right?
Yeah. I've been back here since 2013. So just living a life down in Baton Rouge.
Do you love coaching?
I was born to coach, truthfully. I mean, I really enjoy it. You know, I was having this discussion earlier today with a friend of mine. You know, a guy that I trained quite a bit through his high school and college career, and Alex Bregman, you know, was having so much success in the major leagues. And the point that I made to my buddy I was talking to is I said, you know, I felt so much pride when I got called up, personal pride, you know, that I'd actually achieved that goal. I said, you know, I almost feel more pride when I see one of my guys make it, you know, and see them do well. And so, yeah, man, I love you know, the feeling you get when one of your guys has success. And so coaching gives that to me, and yeah, really enjoy it.
How much does it frustrate you when something like the Astros scandal then happens, Ryan, and and Alex is smack dab in the middle of it, and we know he is immensely talented. We know it. How much does that upset you?
Very upset. I mean, look, I got to be honest, from a former player standpoint, you know, you're pissed. You know, my first thought was, well, geez, I didn't hit any homers, but damn, if I knew what was coming, I would have hit a few. You know, my arbitration hearing would have looked a whole lot different, you know, than it actually did if I'd have had, you know, a few more homers there. And so your mind automatically goes to the selfish thought, which mine did. And then I kind of had to check myself a little bit and say, wait a minute, you know, it's bigger than just me. It's a bigger discussion and a bigger thought process. And so, you know, I was disappointed. I was disappointed in the way everything shook out. You know, do I think that those are the only guys that were doing things similar to that? Absolutely not. I think as long as players are making millions of dollars, they're going to try to figure out a way to get an edge. You know, but at the end of the day, man, you know, it's one of those deals where there's a line there. It's kind of like that line on Monday Night Football, that red line with the first down. You know, there's one line that you just don't cross. It's not really there. It's not tangible. You can't see it, but you know that it's there. And I think that line was crossed in this scenario, and guys are going to learn from it, you know, and understand. You know, I know it drove Alex nuts, man. He had a hard time with it, and we talked quite a bit. And I told him, I said, man, look, here's the deal. You go out there and hit 350 with 30 homers next year, nobody ever talks about this again, you know? And so I know he's motivated to have a great season, and you know, I hope he does.
You get the sense that away from the cameras and talking to someone like you, you're so close with him, that he is truly remorseful?
100%. Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, they all are. Listen, I see how it could get to where it got to. And I'm not saying that this is something he said or a thought of his, because it's not. I can see how, you know, if us three are sitting in a pitcher's meeting and I'm facing Kerry Wood in his prime, and you told me, hey, Ryan, I can tell you when the curveball's coming so you don't look like an absolute moron and go 0-for-5. Do you want to know? My response would probably be, well, yeah, duh. I mean, I'm not going to take the collar today. Yeah. You know, and so it's an easy rabbit hole to get to go down, you know, and then all of a sudden you look up and you know, you're kind of stuck in it. And so I understand that. Would I do it? You know, I don't know. It's hard to say because I wasn't in that situation and never been there. But I do understand how it got to where it got to, for sure.
Ryan Terrio is our guest. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. So you said you love to coach. You were born to coach. What are some of the things you try to teach young players today? I mean, if you're going to prioritize things that are important, and mm-hmm. everything's become so specialized, Ryan, I don't know if that's good sure. or bad. That's probably a different conversation for a different day. But what are some of like the absolute finer teaching points that you love to stress with young players that you work with today?
You know, I think in 2020, the art of competitiveness, you know, the fact that that the game has gotten so analytical. There's so many measurables right now that guys can feel good about. You know, they can feel good about their spin rate or their exit velocity, you know, or things like that that really they don't equate to wins and losses. You know, like I could care less how your spin rate is or what your exit velocity is. Did you get a damn hit or did you get the batter out? Like, you know, and so one of my main focuses, especially with the high level guys, is this is about results, number one, and it's about competing, number two. Like you need to get base hits and you need to score runs and you need to get outs if you're a pitcher. You know, I had a talk with a hitter yesterday. He's a really nice player. He's going to be drafted in the first round this year from LSU. And we were talking about hitting and offense, kind of the way that hitters mature. But I told him, I said, you know, the at bat has to be taken personal. The at bat has to be like a fist fight between you and the pitcher, every single one of them. And if you can treat it that way, every at bat is a fist fight between you and that pitcher. You will have success at the end of the day because his skill set's off the charts. You know, and so I try to stress that with my guys now where they can get lost in the numbers. That happens quite a bit.
Are you an uppercut guy or a guy that wants to bat level through the zone as long as possible?
I want you to hit the middle of the baseball with the fat part of the bat. Ready, break. Like, that's what I want.
That's it.
That's it. I want you to square it up. Just hit the – every time, find a barrel. I had a hitting coach, Vaughn Joshua. I'm sure you guys remember Josh.
Sure.
Well, Josh gave me some great hitting advice. He said, just square it up every single time. Like – each swing is different, guys.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's got a different physical makeup. Your arms are longer or shorter. Derek Lee is going to swing the bat different than Aramis Ramirez and different than Mike Fontenot and so on and so forth. So you can't tailor a swing to a body. You know, you can't put a general swing on different body types. It's impossible to do. And so the easiest thing, man, the best advice, I tell my son right now, he just turned 15. But I just tell him, hey, man, I just need you to square that thing up. You got four bats, hit it on the button four times, really.
But the mechanics of that, like, that's where – and that's why baseball is so hard. And, yeah, like, different body sizes and shapes are going to lead to different swings. And I see what you're saying. Like, they almost all have to be individually tailored. But, like, what are the mechanics – and is it changed a lot as, like, a guy that played in the big leagues, you're 40, and we've seen this – sort of transformation in, you know, whether you believe in launch angle or not, the ideas about like how quickly to get to the zone and how long to keep your bat in the zone. Like has that all changed just from when you learned as a kid to what, you know, you did in the bigs to what you're teaching now?
Yeah, I think if you're sitting still, man, if you're sitting pat and you're not learning and getting better as a coach, as a mentor, then I think you're not practicing what you preach, you know? So, yes, I mean, some ideas change. I think pitchers have gotten better as a whole from a velocity standpoint. They don't know how to pitch, but they throw harder. You know, so the hitter has to adjust in a you know, consistent manner. Now, I'll say this. When I broke into the league in 2004, 2005, you were throwing sinkers and sliders. You know, that was the kind of flavor of the month. And then toward the end of my career in 2012, you saw more four-seam fastballs up in the zone and more overhand breaking balls, curveballs, for instance.
Yeah.
Whereas now they're teaching pitchers that they want this high spin rate up in the zone. Well, offensively, of course, homers are going to go up. I mean, you're throwing 95 miles an hour at my chest. It's okay to strike out? Okay, cool. I'm going to connect with 15 or 20 of these, and it's going to go over the fence at Wrigley when the wind's blowing out. And, you know, what I think's going to happen, you guys, is pitchers are going to get smart within the next 3 or 4 years, and they're going to go, I don't care what the analytics say. I'm going to sink this thing because I'm tired of giving up homers. And then history will repeat itself,
yeah.
And you'll see sinkers again, and you'll see sliders. And homers will go down because you can't get underneath a Brandon Webb sinker, right, or a Greg Maddux sinker. It's impossible.
It's all cyclical. Before we let you go, Ryan, what's your favorite Lou Piniella story?
Oh, man, good Lord. So I'm at shortstop, day game Wrigley, and I can't remember who was pitching, but they were struggling a little bit. And so I could just imagine Lou in the dugout. Damn it, somebody go get that guy. You know what? Tram, I'm going to go get it. And so Piniella walks out, and I'm at short, and he's walking right at me, right? And so I thought I did something wrong. And then he gets on the dirt and is walking to shortstop, and he looks up, and he realizes where he is on the field. And then he gave the whole, damn it, and turns around and runs and takes the guy out. It was he was full of great stories, man. I loved being around Lou. I loved playing for Lou. He was a pistol, man, and what a treat to be able to play for him, for sure.
Ryan, good catching up with you. Thanks for the time. Have a good weekend, all right?
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Talk to you. That's Ryan Terrio. Can't quiet the riot, baby. Mike North will join us when we come back next, and then crosstalk with Waddle and Sylvie. Jesse is in for Waddle today, so we'll talk a little bit more about the weekend and what it might look like between the players and the owners as they try to hammer out an agreement for a return to MLB in 2020. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
O'clock hour brought to you by your Chicagoland Acura dealers. Visit any of the 11 Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealers today and test drive the 2020 RDX. Learn more at ChicagoAcuraDealers.com. After Waddle and Sylvie tonight, coming up at 7 o'clock, we're going to have the odds couple. Mike and I are back. And then 8 to 10 tonight, it is Jonathan Hood to keep you company, rolling you into the weekend. Tomorrow, you get the encore replay of the odds couple from 8 to 9. Here on ESPN 1000, and then Midway, Jeff Meller and Freddie Huebner will keep you company in the morning into the afternoon. So lots happening, and Mike North joins us now for his weekly visit. He is at North to North on Twitter, and he's with Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mikey?
Hey, everything's good, Carmen, Yurks. How was Andy Reid?
Fabulous.
Top notch.
Oh, he's always great. He loves Yurko. He's been great to us over the years, and He's living the good life. He's a Super Bowl champ, and Patrick Mahomes is like 24, you know?
And I never disliked the guy. I always thought he was a great coach. He had a good quarterback in Donovan McNabb. He had some things go against him, but, I mean, he goes in my Hall of Fame even before he basically went to the Super Bowl, along with, you know, other guys that have gotten close that just couldn't get it done. Now he wakes up in the morning and he gets Patrick Mahomes every time he goes to practice, a guy that shows up on time, a guy that does it right. And I just got to say, we're going to talk about this tonight, guys, on the odds couple, but the Belichick and the line and the over-under, Carmen, for New England.
Yep.
I think, you know, everybody's talking about what Tampa Bay is going to do with Brady, you know, and with Gronkowski and with their new look. How about, I mean, I think Belichick has got an inner, like, fire burning in him to win 9-10 ball game.
I'm sure, to show everybody he can do it even without Tom Brady. You know he wants nothing more than that. Absolutely. I mean, their total is 9. They're still -170 to make the playoffs. I mean, you know, I mean, that like there's still a lot of mad respect out there for Bill Belichick. And if he goes out there and does it again, if he wins 10 or 11 games with, I mean, who's he going with? Brian Hoyer? Can you imagine? Jared Stidham would make more sense.
Yeah,
he's going to go. Somebody's going to play quarterback. If he wins 10 games with Brian Hoyer, you forget about it. I mean,
well, how about this? How about if Tampa Bay wins 7 games and New England goes to the playoffs?
Oof, that'd be something.
That'd be a little bit of a shocker. That would be a little bit of a shocker.
That would be a little bit of a shocker, wouldn't
Just
it?
Just because of the weapons that they have down in Tampa.
I know.
But you know what's funny, Yerk? I looked at New England and I saw the over-under for wins. I'm going to myself, this doesn't look like a team that lost a six-time National Football League Super Bowl-winning quarterback and a tight end the year before and other people that they've let go.
And good defensive players, yeah.
So I'm very, you know, that's a tricky one. If you look at the over-under for New England, I think most people would think you lost your major pieces. You've lost your mojo. Well, the guy's gone to Florida. Yeah. You're in trouble. What are you going to do?
Well, part problem is the Jets are awful, right?
Yeah, still the Jets are still pretty bad.
And Miami's kind of in that situation where everybody thought they'd be able to rebound a couple, two, three times over the last 6 years, and they've never really been able to do it. So you still got four victories right there.
And is it Buffalo, Yerk? Is this going to be Buffalo the new Detroit Lions, where every year they're going to challenge for the division and maybe fall short? Who knows?
I know. I love their defense. I don't think I love the quarterback yet, though. You know, that's like the same thing in Buffalo that maybe we're dealing with here a little bit. Mike called it like 10 weeks ago. It's going to take some sort of a crazy event, maybe even a pandemic, to get the Hawks in the playoffs. Well, it's happened. The Hawks are kind of in the playoffs, or in at least in a play-in series. But hey, you can get
Miracle on ice, too.
75.
Miracle on ice, too.
100 to 1, Mike. What do you think? Are we taking a shot?
Well, I know this. It probably should be higher. That doesn't give us much confidence. But 100 to 1, why not? Why not throw a few shekels on the Blackhawks? New life. There's nothing better than new life. I got that my second year in seventh grade. It was called new life. I got to go over the same case plan twice. I got better the second time around. Maybe the miracle on ice, too, gets it done.
$50 on the Hawks at 100 to 1. Why not?
Jerk, you in with us? We put it in. Oh,
yeah, I'm ready.
Let's do it.
It'll be tough enough just beating the Oilers, but we think they can do it. Mikey, we'll talk to you tonight. Can't wait.
Great talking to you guys. Take care,
man. Hi, buddy. There's Mike North each and every week with us, and then we've got the odds couple tonight, 7 to 8, and every Friday night, presented by PropSwap here on ESPN 1000. By the way, Sunday is the last day to get in on the contest to golf with Yurko, courtesy of Luke and Ian and the guys at PropSwap. It's going to be Yurk and Luke Pergandy from PropSwap, and then you and a couple and a buddy playing Sandy Pines in DeMont, Indiana, with Yurko next month. The end of the registration period is Sunday. So make sure you go to ESPNChicagoContests.com. That's ESPNChicagoContests.com, and you can register. Yeah,
it'll be fun.
Pretty simple.
We'll go down there and have a good time. I think you'll enjoy the track. It's a nice track.
That's what I've heard, yeah. And you could see Yurko struggle with one of those eights and sevens.
Yeah, a snowman. Life doesn't start until you get a snowman.
But then once Yurko gets locked in, I'm telling you, he goes four or five holes where he's like two over, and you're like, ooh, baby, he's got it locked in right now.
Four, I'd like to go a seven-hole stretch where I'm two over.
That'd be nice.
Wouldn't we all, Yurko?
Yeah.
Pauly Cheesecake wanted to say hi real quick and wish us a happy weekend. Are you going back to work next week, Pauly?
Monday.
Oh, all right. Are you excited?
Yes, everything's cleared with the doctor. I'm doing good. Listen, I want to say something real quick. When we're able to have a bigger group in July, you guys, all the hosts, and one more, we're going to have the ultimate trivia contest.
Okay.
Oh, I'm ready.
Chicago sports. All Chicago sports.
Who's putting this on?
Me.
Oh, all right. Cheesecake's
putting it on.
No.
We can have this at the house or at one of the bar guys frequent.
Sounds good to me. Which bar would you like to do it at? A bar in Berwyn?
No. Off-Broadway in Brookfield, because I know them very well. They know me and my dad.
Yeah, I love that. Are you kidding? Brookfield? Downtown Brookfield, man? You got Burger Antics over there?
Irish Times?
Definitely,
yeah.
All right. Yeah. I'm in.
And
let's
listen,
do it. Yeah.
Hey, I'm working all next week. I'm back Monday. And then, like I said, you know, have a good weekend. And you know what? All the sports will be back. We'll all be happy.
I'll stop in Mariano's. I'll see you next week, all right?
Sounds good. Okay.
All right.
You.
So Paulie's putting together some sort of a trivia contest.
Thanks, Paulie. Let's stop by and pick up some Limburger. Make sure you cut it for me.
Don't forget to cut the cheese. I've missed Paulie at my local Mariano's.
You?
Yeah.
Every time you go in there, you keep asking for Paulie.
Well, I know he's not been working because of all this, you know.
Yeah, sure.
And I see Paulie, I feel like Paulie's there 6 days a week, to be honest. I mean, you know, he's got everybody in town knows Paulie. Out by me.
Very
you know.
Popular.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know how he is. He's gregarious. He's walking around
Berlin.
Telling everybody he's Pauly Cheesecake. Yeah.
That's right. You didn't hear me? Come on.
Don't you know who I am?
Don't you know who I am? I love that line.
All right, plans for the weekend, Yurk? You said Gracie's with you this weekend.
Yeah, I've got Grace this weekend, so it'll be some local stuff, some yard work and stuff like that.
Yep, me too.
I went out for dinner yesterday, had a very nice time over at Gino's.
Good.
Had veal marsala.
All right.
And a nice Caesar salad. It was fantastic.
That's lovely.
Yeah, it was top notch. So I might take Gracie out, I don't know, maybe to dinner, see if the knucklehead boys want to go out.
Very good.
They don't like to get dressed like the, you know, even somewhat like a casual
right
thing to go out and like go somewhere. Let's order it, Dad. Let's go to a bar and eat at a bar. And I'm like, yeah.
They like shorts and flip-flops,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's all they want. Shorts, yeah. Flip-flops, right. Wherever we can go like this. And it's like, well, sometimes you don't want to. Sometimes I want to have a better meal, you know?
Sometimes you got to put a collared shirt on.
Sometimes I want to eat something else but chicken wings, guys,
exactly.
Or boneless.
Yeah.
Traditional or boneless? Which one you want, Pappy?
Sometimes you want a
right
more.
Now, I want a little more.
More of a variety.
Yeah.
I feel you. I'm going to smoke some ribs this weekend. I am going to do some yard work this weekend. I'm telling you,
get it done.
I'm getting this power washer. I got to power wash the patio, the weeds that grow. And I don't like spraying the chemicals on there.
Well,
yet.
Sometimes you have to, kid. Sometimes it gets to be
like
too much.
Stuff.
I'm going to, matter of fact, I got a little Roundup myself. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to spray some areas. Some areas you can pick with your hand.
Yeah.
But I got one area that's just gone absolutely mad. And not only that, am I going to spray, but when it wilts and it burns, I got to bring like a flamethrower out.
And just torch the whole thing.
And just torch the whole thing. And then spray again to get it down to the root.
Mm-hmm.
But it's disgusting, Carm. It's terrible.
When we come back, we will talk to Waddle and Sylvie. It's actually Jesse in for Waddle today. So we'll talk to the boys and see what's coming up between 2 and 6 as they get ready to spring you into the weekend. So we'll be back in 2 minutes.